Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Amen. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We're going to go to three different scriptures early this morning, which is not really my tradition. My tradition is to take one and exegete it. When I got to Israel, I asked God, God, help me to lead this church in a greater way this next year. God, speak to me. And I thought that he'd speak to me when I walked into one of the two tombs that he came out of, and it's historically most certainly that one of them is the correct one. I actually lean historically more towards the Church of the Sepulchre, and I actually sense more of a touch of God at the tomb, supposedly, of Joseph of Arimathea. Anyway, I asked God to show me what he wanted to show me. I went on a spiritual journey. I took 25 people. I've spent my life in the New Testament, archaeologically speaking, in Corinthians, in Turkey, in Greece, in the seven churches of Asia Minor. And when I went to Turkey, I had this epiphany at the city of Sardis, mentioned in the book of Revelations. And I realized I understand Revelations now. And I've never been bothered by Revelation since. Didn't mean I understand everything, but I had this epiphany. Well, that epiphany hit me in Jerusalem. When I walked over the land of the gospel, I ate fish out of the Dead Sea. Ate fish out of the Sea of Galilee. I rode a boat on the Sea of Galilee. I saw a 2,000-year-old boat. I literally sat where Jesus sat. And I ate some of the things he ate. And I don't know how he ate them. But it was a spiritual journey. And I want you to go with me next year. However, the thing that caught me off guard the most was that I never expected God to give me a front row seat in what it was to be a Pharisee. And so you'll understand Phariseeism, the Pharisees are Jewish people, along with Essenes and different kinds of Jewish sects, S-E-C-T. And they all participated in the temple. What you see with the door, there's only one door into the temple of Moses. The first thing was the sacrifice. The second thing was the washing. Then you walked in out of the outer courts into the holy place. And you saw the menorah, which represents the Holy Spirit. The table of shewbread, which represents the word of God. And then you came to the altar of incense, which was as close as you could get before you went through the curtain that was torn when Jesus was crucified from the top to the bottom. And then you walked into a place called the Holies of Holies, where the great high priest would drip blood on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, every year. But what you need to know is that by the time you get to the second temple, Solomon, this was here. By the time you get to the third temple, the temple of Herod, this had been stolen. Some people say it's been hidden. Many good theologians believe it's hidden underneath the Dome of the Rock somewhere. And there are many archaeologists that believe this. But it was not present during the time of Jesus. It had been hidden because they were afraid of the temple being destroyed, which it was, 70 AD. And so this has been hidden. So what did the great high priest on Yom Kippur do? He dripped blood, and I saw the rock. He dripped blood on the rock. If you look at Jerusalem and you see the Temple Mount, the Golden Dome, Muslims own that and control that to this day. It is now a mosque. But that is where Abraham, on that rock, sacrificed Isaac, or prepared to obey God and sacrificed Isaac, a scripture I don't think I'll ever understand. That is where David bought from Omar the threshing floor and said, I won't offer God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. That is the place that Muslims believe that Muhammad spoke to Allah, and Allah gave Muhammad, the prophet, the directions for Islam. That is the place that Jewish people who are Orthodox Jews believe Jesus is coming, or that the Messiah is coming. They reject Jesus as the Messiah. Many times they're called Hasidics. Hasidic Jews, which means they have the little curly pigtails. They shave the rest of their head. They wear black hats. They have black trench coats on. They look like the Jewish mafia. They got shoes that cannot be laced, because if they were to have a shoe unlaced on the Sabbath, it would be unlawful to bend down and tie your shoes. You would break God's law. They have prayer shawls on a lot. They rock back and forth with at the Wailing Wall. That is what many people understand as conservative Judaism. But I got to be honest, when I saw that and I saw these people for 9 weeks, they're some of the meanest people you could ever meet. If a woman walks into a holy place and say they walk up to the Wailing Wall, number one, men and women are separated at that Wailing Wall. You never see the women's section on television. You only see the men. On the other side of that, there's women. And if your shoulders as a woman are not covered, you are yelled at, you are demeaned, you are scolded. If you're a man and you walk in there and you forget your kippah, which is a skull cap, which is, it actually represents you're under the authority of God. That's a good concept. But if you forget it, you'll be scolded. One of my friends, we were in the tomb of St. David, King David. And you'll notice that they rock back and forth with their prayers. You'll notice that they, conservative Judaism, will sit at a table and study the Torah in front of the Wailing Wall, or they study in front of King David. And one of my friends, who's a Gentile, who doesn't understand Judaism at all, in the tomb of David, asked someone sitting at the table, studying God's word, a question, and he screamed in front of everybody. Brian humiliated him in front of everybody, scolded him. And it was so bad, I thought, my goodness, these people have no sense of mercy. And God said, now I got you where I want you. I want you to go on a little journey with me. Galatians chapter 3, this isn't going to take long. It's not what I expected to learn when I went to Israel. You see, these Jews are meticulous. They go through the motion. They only go through the door. You have to realize where a lot of these conservative Jews are at. They go through the door. They don't let just anyone in the temple. They sacrifice. They never miss a cue, folks. They give. They tithe. They're so meticulous that they tithe off their money, and then they'll turn around and take their spices and separate something as small as cumin. Jesus talked about this, and give one spice to the temple out of cumin. They wash. You'll never hear them telling dirty jokes. They won't go to dirty movies. They won't use vulgar language. They cleanse themselves. They wash their hands before they go to the Wailing Wall. They wash themselves before they go to the temple and the mikvah, which is another word for a fancy small swimming pool that Jewish people have to get completely naked, duck one time. Jesus did this, and then they can enter into the temple. It started right here with this mikvah, which is where you washed your hands before you approach God. They live clean lives. They very seldom ever make any mistakes. And then when it comes to the things of God, they love the external presence of God. They love watching being praying, and they study the Word of God. As a matter of fact, they study the Torah. They'll walk up and down the roads of Israel, and they'll study, be speaking the Torah. They'll be on an airplane, and they'll rock back and forth for a 10.5-hour flight. That'll drive you nuts. 10.5-hour flight, rocking backwards and forth. We're holding the prayer shawl, praying without ceasing, just like the Bible says. And they consider themselves intercessors. They pray, and they approach God, and they bring prayer requests to God. They say, God, restore the temple. But in all this thing, they cleanse and they wash their hands. They go to the temple. They read the Torah. They do all these things without ceasing. But there's something greatly missing in their life. And the Lord spoke to me and said, do you realize the danger that you can do the right thing in the wrong way? I don't know about you, but one of the scriptures that bothers me the most is the one that says, You cast out demons in my name. You've went to church. You've never missed. You put your hands in the air with a holy sacrifice of praise. You tithe religiously and devoutly to the things of God. You give. You walk in holiness. You do all the right things. And then you get to heaven and Jesus Christ himself looks at you and says, am I supposed to know you? He says, I don't know you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And you would think that would be very hard to do. But actually, it's very easy to do. It's easy to come to church and never let God touch your heart. It's easy to do the things of God. It's easy to read the Bible and never get anything out of it. It's easy to pray and never really have any power behind your prayers. It's really easy to celebrate the external presence of God. It's actually easy not to go to dirty movies, easy not to use dirty curse words at work. It's easy to keep a clean life in a lot of ways on the outside. It's actually easy to sacrifice, to give your offerings to God and to give God sacrifice as a volunteer. It's actually easy to understand there's only one way to God and it's through only one door. It's easy to do all of these things and be lost in the house of God. And I would rather, if I was going to be lost, and please forgive me if I offend you, but if I was going to be lost, I'd rather be drunk as Cootie Brown, sleeping with every woman on two legs and doing every ungodly thing and just be a narcissist and indulge in sin. If I'm going to be lost. But if I'm going to be saved, God forbid that I spend my life right here and never ever know Him. God forbid that I don't see movies and I get made fun of as a kid because I didn't see the movies they saw. God forbid that I give my income to the house of God and I sacrifice and miss God. My goodness, to sacrifice and to miss God, to cleanse and walk in holiness and miss God, to read the Bible every day and miss God, to be in the presence of God and miss Him, to be praying for other people and never be heard. Listen, that's another version of hell for me. If I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve Him with everything I got. Someone say amen. And so in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, you see something. Let me give you some insight. You foolish Galatians, who has hypnotized you, is what my Bible says. The Greek actually says bewitch. Who's bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was vividly portrayed as crucified. I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of the faith? Are you so foolish that after beginning with the Spirit, are you now going to be made complete in the flesh? Did you suffer so much for nothing? In fact, it was nothing. So then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles amongst you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the word bewitched is an eye concept that in the Mediterranean world, they will walk by you on the street and they will look at you with a certain eye and they will cast a spell on you. Bewitched. It is witchcraft. And what he's saying there is he's saying, have you been bamboozled? Have you been bewitched? Have you been hypnotized to think that you could do all of this stuff in the flesh? That you can go through the only door into the temple and wash in the mikmah bath before you get there? And then when you get in, are you so bewitched that you think that you could have a sacrifice laid on the altar for God and not even really mean it in your heart? Are you so bewitched that you think because you don't look like ungodly people on the outside that the inside of your cup doesn't need cleaning? Are you so foolish? Are you so blinded to think that you can walk and not go to dirty movies, not cut your hair, not watch television, not do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and don't do that, and you think you're still all right with God because you didn't do something? Are you so foolish and drunk with pride that you think you can read the Word of God every single day and still make it into heaven without it being an intimate personal relationship with me? Do you think that your flesh has the ability to read the Word of God? Do you really think that the menorah, which is the only light in the whole temple, represents the Holy Spirit because of the oil in these branches? There's 8 branches in a menorah, 9 for Hanukkah. Because the 9th on the Hanukkah represents servanthood. And so you think that you can read the Word of God without an intimate relationship burning with God? Are you that stupid? Do you really think that you can get your prayers answered without having a personal relationship with God? Do you really think that God hears you without your being full of fire, without you being full of God's presence? Do you really think that? And Lord, I hope you don't think, God forbid, that you can walk into the holies of holies and be in here and not be real. Because even the great high priest on Yom Kippur dropped dead if he had sin in his life once he crossed that threshold. That's why they put bells on his garments. If he wasn't ringing, it wasn't good for him. And so when you look at Luke 18, you look at Colossians 2 and 8, you begin to see where there's this group of people who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. We went to a place, and this is going to go fast. We went to a place called Qumran. Anyone in here ever heard of Qumran? Let me see hands. One of you. That's great. How many of you have ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Let me see your hands. Okay. The Dead Sea Scrolls were found at Qumran. But what I did not know, I actually led a Bible study at Qumran last week. What I did not know when I went through with the tour guides and the specialists in these subjects is that the whole reason that there was a Dead Sea Scroll is because there was a group of Jews before Jesus showed up and during his lifetime that said, this sucker up here is corrupt. You have Jews sacrificing that have no relationship with God. You have Jews cleansing in the mikvah, but they don't have a heart for God. You actually have Jews who read the Word of God every single day and don't know Him. You have Jewish people interceding, but they don't know God. The temple is corrupt. Hence the reason Jesus took a bullwhip into the temple. Not because they were selling things, because you had to buy your sacrifice. Remember, David said there, I won't bring God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. On that very rock where that holies of holies and that Ark of the Covenant sat. And so here you got this thing, guys. You got this religious institution that was just religious. That's what I keep my eyes on this church more than anything else. Religious people, next to the lack of humility and leadership or faithfulness and leadership. Can you imagine the entire third temple of Herod that Jesus set and said, not one stone upon this stone will be here at the coming of the Son of Man. In 70 AD, it was destroyed by the Romans. Do you know that there was a group of Jews that said, enough? We're not going to go through all this. We're not going to live a holy life. How many of you know there's a price to living holy? Can I see your hands? We're not going to live a holy life and not have it on the inside. We're not going to tithe or sacrifice or volunteer and not have it on the inside. We're not going to say there's only one way to heaven and then ignore that way once we get access into His presence. We are not going to read the Word of God and make it into some kind of rule that brings bondage to you. Many people take the Bible and cause people to walk in bondage. Did you know that? They take the Bible and they say the Bible says a woman should have her hair covered. That way you should have real long hair if you're a woman. They take the Bible and they say things like, if you really love God, you would do. And they put all kind of rules, and especially Judaism, and especially religious people. In Protestantism, they say, if you want to hear from God, I know a person who had a tragedy in their life, and another religious person said the reason the tragedy was in your life is because you weren't close enough to God. When I was first going into ministry, my first ministry opportunity, there was a kid whose dad dropped dead dropped with a stroke at Opryland. And I spent 2 weeks on the floor of the Massonville Hospital praying for Bobby. And if I ever prayed for someone to be healed, it was for Bobby. I held Todd in my hands while he wept like a baby at 14 years old, 15 years old, his dad automatically, the one man he loved the most, gone. And I asked God to heal him, and God did not heal him. He died. And I went back to school my freshman year in school. And someone walked up to me and said, had you prayed the right prayer, God would have healed him. People looked at me when Dustin died, my brother at 16, and they said, had you covered that car in the blood, God wouldn't have took him. I'm going to tell you something. There's a Greek word for those kind of people. They're full of bull crap. Write it out. Pardon the Greek this morning. But I'm going to look at this real quick. These religious people, these Qumran people, actually left Jerusalem and the temple because it was corrupted with people going through the motions that didn't have a walk with God. Many archaeologists say and believe firmly that Jesus visited Qumran many times because they were his kind of Jews. You say, well, where do you get that at? Well, the Bible says there are many things that Jesus did that could not be written in books because there's not enough of books to write about it. Number two, many people believe John the Baptist was a member of that community. And I really appreciate the Qumran Jews because they stood up in the midst of corruption. What does corruption look like in the church? It looks like you go through the motions and you don't give a dang. That you're in church every time the doors are opened. You're an elder, but there's no walk with God to where your light has been lit by the power of the Holy Spirit that makes these things make sense. That's why there's only one light in the temple, the tabernacle, dwelling place where God wants to dwell with you. If you try to read the Bible and the Holy Spirit isn't living in you, know you not that your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, you can forget it. If you read the Bible and all you do is it's a rule book about what you don't do, where you don't go, what you don't say, you're in trouble. And I've spent my life, just like Jesus, arguing with religious people. 2 Timothy 3, 5 and 7 says, you can have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such turn away, for this sort are which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women bound with sin, led away with lots of kinds of different kinds of lust. They're ever learning. Religious people love to learn. This is a sacrifice. This is a spotted lamb. This is the mikvah. This is where you cleanse. They love to learn, but never coming to an understanding of who God is. And let me just run down with you real quick. As I learned sitting there watching Jewish people who were ultra conservative and very mean, I realized I was getting an education. Not all of them are like that, but most of them were. I only met one that was nice, and that was only because he sat next to me on the plane and said to me, I guess I'm your neighbor. But I learned that truth has to be grounded in love. This is the truth. This is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. This is the truth, and that surely is the truth. But if my truths aren't grounded in love, and I run off people, and thank God we've never had this problem, because I'll run you off if you ever try. Run off someone because they don't dress the way you dress. Run off someone because you think you're holier than they are. Run off someone because they don't have the kind of life you think they should live. Now, that's why we confront sin with love. That's why our leaders are demanded and required to walk in humility, or you don't even get near the place. But someone comes in here and says, well, look at her. She ain't been to church in 20 years. And look at her shorts. And look at her hair. And look at her. Let me tell you something. Paul said, such were some of you. And when you get to the place in your Christian walk where you don't think your stuff stinks, then you are the one that's stinking. All of us have sinned and blown it. Can I get a good amen? We've all blown it. We've all blown it. I've blown it. You've blown it. We've all blown it. But these people, a lot of times that are like this, they never work to be accepted. They work to be loved. They never sacrifice because they love God. If you're tithing because you love God, you're okay. If you're volunteering because you love God, you're okay. But if you're volunteering because you feel guilty because you've been sleeping with your boyfriend, you're not okay. If you wash and stay clean and don't try your best not to sin, listen, you're okay. But if you're trying not to sin so you'll be accepted by someone, you're not okay. I feel like Carl Rogers today. I'm okay, you're okay. You don't ever work to be accepted. Do you realize that when you look at this in the proper way, there is no work that's going to get you through the door? You cannot be good enough, clean enough, read the Bible enough, feel the Holy Ghost enough. You can't do nothing enough to get through the door. You only get through the door by the blood of Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. And it's for by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I cannot work. I cannot tithe. I cannot give. I cannot volunteer enough for God to accept me. I cannot cleanse enough. I can't stay away from curse words enough. I can't stay away from dirty movies or premarital sex or porn or whatever else you're struggling with. You can't stay away from it enough to be accepted by God. You can read your Bible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, rock on a plane for 10 and a half hours reading the Torah with your hand tied around your prayer shawl with 613 strands, because there's 613 laws you've added in the Mishnah and the Talmud to go with the Word of God. And let me tell you, when you get to heaven, God will reject you. And you cannot work enough to earn the presence of the Holy Spirit. You cannot work enough to hear, let God hear you when you pray. It is impossible to work your way into heaven. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. You go to heaven by grace and grace alone. Somebody say amen. You see, these people have godly duties, but no passion or hunger for God. A religious spirit, they have their identity rooted in a lifestyle of Christianity. They know the truth, but they don't know the way. They project righteousness, but inwardly they're filled full of anger and resentment. How do you know a religious spirit? Is they walk around like they're better than you, and they walk around like they're holy and they have never sinned. But if you ever make them mad, you'll see their fangs. You'll see their anger, their resentment at human beings. Religious people don't have an inward walk with God. They project righteousness inwardly, but they're filled with anger. You see, listen to me. When you live your life by the law, and that's what I'm talking about, it's actually called legalism. I'll never forget when my mother gave her life to Jesus Christ, there's a group of people, today's mom's birthday, there's a group of people who met her at the altar, and before she could get up from the altar, that changed my home forever. They told her, Wanda, they took the word. The first thing they started doing is they said, you got to stop cutting your hair, Wanda Knight. I was there. I'll never forget as a child. They said, what do you? These people are crazy. No disrespect. Crazy. They said, you got to throw away your jewelry, get rid of your diamond ring, stop wearing that war paint, looking like Jezebel. And they put all these, see, what should be freedom becomes a stone of burden. And they put these laws that are burdensome on people's backs at the moment of salvation and said, if you're going to be saved, you're going to look like me. You're going to be mad. You're going to spit when you preach. You're going to have a King James Bible that weighs 50 pounds, and you're going to look like you're upset all day long. And so these religious spirits try to get a hold of people. And what you need to understand is that the law produces the work of the flesh. If you enter in through the only door, the sheep gate, if you enter in through only by Jesus, and you begin to work it in the flesh, you are going to struggle with your Christian walk the rest of your life, because you're working the flesh to try to do the things of God. That's good preaching for a white boy. Legalism, according to Romans 11 and 6, leads to a life of struggle. Works of the flesh produces struggle. Empty human efforts trying to do God's job. Jeremiah said, whatever you do, don't try to dig a well that's empty. You can make a law out of anything. And Pharisees are great at making new laws that are not in the Bible. You are not to go to the movies or to mix bathe, which I've never understood that language because there's no soap involved. You are not to mix bathe, which is swimming. Most of you don't even have a clue what I'm talking about right now. They put these burdens on you. And they say, you're not to do this. And now, women, you're not to wear makeup. Show me where that's in the Bible. You see, God gave you bread so you could survive. Religious spirits give you bread so they can hit you over the head with it. You ever been, it's one thing to beat yourself up because you've sinned and you can't understand grace. It's another thing to be beat over the head by a religious person with the word of God. You don't worship enough. If you were really spiritual, you'd dance. That hurt. And that's what they want. Some of the things I do to teach you. They take the Bible, the bread of life, and they use it as a stone to put on your shoulders. I can't go to church. I don't have the right kind of clothes. That's what they want to do. They want to beat you up with the word. And what you have to realize is that legalism has been designed to steal your joy. If you love God, the Bible says clearly, it is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. If you try to live this life with legalism, religion, please don't get offended, but I hate religion. I'd rather be with a bunch of drunks and drug addicts sharing the gospel than to be in a room full of religious people any day, any time, any place. But if you try to live this in the law of the flesh, it's going to be a struggle. But if you live it in the joy of the Lord, you get happy when you give. You give, you say, there's nothing I won't give up because I love him so much. You say, the word of God is life to me. The presence of God lights my way. He hears me when I pray, and oh, he's so full of mercy. I want to keep you away from religion. It steals your way. It steals your sacrifice. It steals your holiness. It steals your Bible reading. It steals your walk with the Holy Ghost. It steals your prayers. Religion will destroy you. It will aggravate you. It will frustrate you. Religion hinders transformation. Because you are supposed to enter in through the one door, Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep know my voice. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is to give you joy and strength. You are empowered to do this when the Holy Ghost, the old saints used to say, and they were right here, they say it's Holy Ghost full of joy unspeakable and half that's never yet been told. It's so much easier to walk with God and to do what pleases God when there's joy in your life. But when people want to beat you up because you don't measure up, and then they want to point out your sins. You ever notice that people who point out your sins weigh 900 pounds? Yeah. No, I'm being serious. I see it all the time. I get criticized a lot by preachers. I thought, did you miss the scripture on gluttony? Did you miss the scripture about your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit? You got gravy on your tie, buddy. I'm being very serious. It is funny, but I'm being very serious. Where's your love? And I want to tell some preachers that, and this ain't about me, but it's a good object lesson. I really have paid a price to pastor this church because we're different. But that's okay with me. Because I do it out of joy. But I want to look at some of them and say, if I really am going to hell, you are in huge trouble. Because that makes me the harvest. And that makes you the harvester. And I would want anything today but your Jesus. How many of you know it's a lot easier to live for God when there's full of joy? Say amen. They're hypercritical people. They walk in superiority. They feel like they can earn God's favor. Get ready, sound booth. They feel like they can earn God's favor through behavior. They feel like they can earn God's favor through behavior. They feel like they can earn God's favor through behavior. Feel like they can earn God's favor through behavior. These people fight the Spirit of God because there's no light in them. Oh, they pray. They read the Word of God. They look good. They sacrifice. And quite frankly, they believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. But the point is, they miss it. They do the right thing in the wrong way. Rather than inspire loyalty, if you're to walk through the furniture, which is a passage to our walk with God, rather than inspire loyalty to the Spirit of God that lights the bread, that lights the prayer, that gives you access to sacrifice, lights the, makes sense of holiness, you know what they do? Rather than put loyalty there, and this is where we all mess up, we put loyalty here. Jesus is the only way to heaven. We put loyalty here. You must tithe. We put loyalty here. We put loyalty there. We put loyalty here. But without that, we can never get in there. They put loyalty to concepts. Don't cut your hair. Don't eat certain foods. Don't marriage. Don't engage in marriage a certain way. Don't wear certain clothes. They've been doing it for 2,000, 3,000 years. They're counterfeiting the walk with God. And that is why they're in the dark. And there's an emergency and they don't even realize it. It's one thing to go to hell and be a whore. It's another thing to go to hell and be in the temple and not even know your way around it and can't find your way. It's one thing to go to church and be an elder and take an oath. It's another thing not to obey it, not come on Wednesdays. It's one thing to be a pastor and study only to preach God's word, but never have a devotional life for your own. When you try to do this without God, you make a mess of the house of God. You can't see your way. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. Ushers, get ready. Go ahead. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. No man enters in but by me. It's a horrible thing to come to church and go to hell and be full of legalism and have no concern for other human beings in your life. But if Jesus could ever come back in your heart and shine his light on your sacrifice, if Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, could lead you into holiness, if Jesus could lead you in Bible study and intercession, if only he lit your way, then you could see how to do God's will. Do you realize that when he lights your way, your prayer smells sweet? When he lights your way, you understand the Bible. When he lights your way, holiness is for a reason. Giving to God's work is full of great joy. When he lights your way, your incense, your prayer life, go ahead, Jeremy, gives you access that you've never had with God before. Doesn't it smell sweet? He said, the way of a transgressor is hard. Jesus said, my way is easy. Only if the light is on. If the light is off, there is no sweet smell. But when the light is on, and your lamps are trimmed and burning, and the Holy Spirit fuels your walk with him, your incense becomes a beautiful expression of the love of God, and you make intercession. The Bible says the veil was ripped in the New Testament, and Peter says, you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a people called out of darkness into this marvelous life. Now you, not just the chief priest, have access to the holies of holies, the very presence of God. But listen to me, how do religious people miss it? They miss it because they ignore the most important piece of furniture in the approach to God. It is not intercession. It is not the Word. It is not experience with the Holy Spirit. It is not holiness. It is not sacrifice. It isn't even Jesus being the door. Of course, we all know these things are true. But religious people know they're true too, but they miss it. How do you miss it? How do you screw your walk up with God? Try to get right here in the arm of the flesh. But this was called the mercy seat. And if there's one thing that defines religious people, is that there is no mercy in their life for anyone else but themselves. Religious people do not walk in love. And the last time I checked is that if you want to get close to God and you want to know God is your Savior, then you realize that Jesus is the only way to God. But before you can take one step further, you must read John 3:16 slowly again. For God so loved. God so loved. Without love, none of this makes sense. Without love, you don't get in. For God so loved, he gave. That's why the first thing that meets you is sacrifice. For God so loved that He gave His one and only begotten Son, an unblemished lamb, holy and pure unto God. They said that this lamb was the bread of life. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word of God dwelt amongst us. It was Emmanuel, God with us. He said, if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. He said, I'll hear you when you pray, because love covers a multitude of sins. And the only way you get close to God, well, the only way you know you're close to God, the only way you know you're getting it right, the only way you can judge whether you're holy or not, the only way you can judge whether or not you're doing the right thing for the right reasons, is if there's love in your life. If there's concern and mercy for people in your life. And so I asked the Lord, if all these things are true, God, what causes me to miss it? And when He gave me the answer, if you're visiting today, I do not use the God card much, but I have to today. I said, God, what causes? How in the world can I get this close to You? And I'm full of love, but how can I miss it? He spoke one word to me, and I didn't understand it. He tried to speak through TV shows to me this week. He tried to speak through a concert that I was at watching another individual. He tried to tell me, and I didn't get it till this morning. He said, rebellion! I said, what do you mean rebellion? How in the world can we miss this with rebellion when we don't go to dirty movies? When we do sacrifice, when we do have only a door, how in the world, when Jesus is the light of the world, do we miss it because of rebellion when we're in the house of God to begin with? And then I did something that I should have done a long time ago. I went to a dictionary and I looked up the word rebellion. And it hit me right between the eyes. Go ahead, Jeremy. What is rebellion?
There is no one like
in the house of God.
There is none beside.
How can I do the right thing in the wrong way?
Open up my eyes and wonder.
The definition of rebellion is the lack of allegiance.
Fill me with your heart and
oh God. I pledge myself to You fully and wholly this morning. You are the only way. I work, I tithe, I volunteer, I sacrifice, I hide Easter eggs out of allegiance. I stay away from ungodliness, and I stay away from things that are sinful out of allegiance. I read the Word of God out of allegiance. I stand in the presence of God out of allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My prayers will be a sweet-smelling fragrance out of allegiance. And I pledge allegiance to You and to You alone. Hear, O Israel, there is only one God. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And if I know Him, I'll love them. And I'll love this process out of allegiance. If you've gotten anything out of this morning, would you clap your hands real quick? I need just a tiny bit of light so we don't get sued. That's it. That's all I want. Jesus said the problem is the outside of the cup looks really good, but inside it's nasty. And maybe there's an emergency going on in your life right now, and you need to tighten up some things with God. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're not that you're a bad person. There's just some things that need to be tightened up. On the count of three, if you want to get closer to God, if there's something that needs to be tightened up, or you don't know God and you want to ask Him into your life today as your personal Savior, where life actually makes sense, I want you to come on the count of three. One, two, three. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying.
I will build my life upon your
love. I know you're in here.
It is a firm foundation.
Oh, you were weary and heavy laden.
I will put my trust.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.